From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news update. A Juneau man charged with double homicide wants to get rid of his attorney months before his trial. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
41-year-old LaRon Carlton Graham said in court on Wednesday that it's because of irreconcilable differences. Graham has pled not guilty to two counts of first-degree murder in connection with the deaths of 36-year-old Robert Myrice and 34-year-old Elizabeth Tonsmeyer. They were found shot to death in a West Juneau apartment in November of 2015. A grand jury indicted Graham in February of 2018. Natasha Norris, a private Anchorage-based attorney, was initially appointed to represent Graham on behalf of the Office of Public Advocacy, but Graham said as far as he was concerned, she was fired. Norris did not attend the hearing, which was video conference between Anchorage and Juneau courtrooms. Graham is currently serving time for previous convictions at an Anchorage area correctional facility. Graham expressed impatience with Norris's preparation for trial. It was earlier scheduled for next month, February, and it has now been rescheduled for August 19th. He also openly challenged the validity of the indictments and sufficiency of the prosecution's evidence presented to the grand jury by 17 witnesses and gathered by the execution of over 50 search warrants. During a special closed hearing next Thursday, Juneau Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg will either require Norris to continue representing Graham, terminate her and appoint a new attorney, or allow Graham to represent himself. The Office of Special Prosecutions is prosecuting the case instead of the short-staffed Juneau District Attorney's Office. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And Alaska's biggest port is in dire need of repairs. And according to the latest estimate for the port in Anchorage, those repairs will be twice as expensive as originally forecasted. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, city officials are dismayed.
In recent years, the municipality of Anchorage had been bracing for a $1 billion bill to modernize the port. That's billion with a B. City Manager Bill Falsey says the engineering firm managing the project has had to adjust that estimate upwards.
They have given us a revised all-in price tag of nearly $2 billion. It leaves us in a very uncomfortable place.
One of the most immediate updates needed is to the terminal that handles bulk fuel and cement offloaded at the port. Now, nearly ready for construction to get underway, that terminal will cost twice as much as initially thought. In documents given to Anchorage Assembly members, the implication is that other aspects of the project will double as well because of everything from increased steel prices to limited dredge availability to design changes that anticipate higher sea level rise.
We are certainly interrogating if there are any bells and whistles that have been added to the project. Help us take those off because we do not want to build a more expensive port than we need to have.
The city of Anchorage does not have anywhere near the amount of money it needs to pay for the repairs. The mayor's administration has repeatedly implored the state to fund improvements, stressing that while the port is located in Anchorage, the goods passing through it are distributed across the state, serving a majority of Alaska's population. As the pilings supporting the dock continue to erode, the risk of catastrophic failure threatens the flow of essential supplies like food, fuel, and construction material into the state. Falsey says that in order to pay for the most immediate improvements, the city will begin assessing new tariff proposals in the months ahead. That means fuel and some building materials coming through the port could soon be more expensive. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
A federal judge has rejected the cruise industry's motion to specify how Juneau can spend revenue earned from its $8 per passenger fees. Following Judge H. Russell Holland's December decision that passenger fees can only be used for services to cruise ships, the industry had asked the judge to go further. The final judgment opens an avenue for either party to appeal. City Manager Rory Watt said the Juneau Assembly hasn't made up its mind what it'll do.
This appears to be a workable ruling from the judge we think the parties can manage within the constraints that he's imposed, and we can do it productively. And I think the question is, does CLIA want to join us in that approach?
The city uses the fees for projects like building bigger docks for cruise ships, but it also spends them on things like public bathrooms, sidewalks, and crossing guards around downtown cruise ship wharf. Sidewalk maintenance and crossing guards are two things Holland specifically said would not be a constitutional expenditure of the fee in the December order. Cruise industry attorney Jonathan Benner says the final judgment makes it clear that the court expects the city to be careful with how it spends fees in the future.
We are hopeful that that proves to be the case, and we look forward to a period of productive cooperation with the city on these issues.
Holland also declined to address the state's passenger fee in his judgment, writing that it was not relevant to the case as presented by both parties. And groundwater contaminated with perfluorinated substances was discovered at the King Salman Airport Thursday. The chemical, known as PFAS, is a component of firefighting foams used during regular equipment testing at the airport. This is the second Bristol Bay community where groundwater contamination from these chemicals has been identified. KDLG's Avery Lill has more.
The state of Alaska tested 10 wells near the King Salman Airport. One on airport property tested at 155 parts per trillion for PFAS. That's more than twice the health advisory level established by the EPA. There's emerging evidence that long-term exposure to these chemicals can increase the risk of certain diseases, including kidney and testicular cancers. The contaminated King Salman well was used by a business that leases property at the airport. The tenant has been provided an alternative drinking water supply. Just last week, the well at Dillingham's Holy Rosary Catholic Church was closed for PFAS contamination also. In both cases, the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities presumes that PFAS in firefighting foams used during regular equipment testing leached into the contaminated wells. DOT has hired Shannon and Wilson, an independent third-party environmental consultant, to conduct additional well search and sampling in Dillingham and King Salman. Samantha Loud, PFAS coordinator for the Department of Transportation, says a community meeting will be scheduled in Dillingham.
Shannon Wilson will come to the community to sample private wells and establish sampling areas. If residents are located in those sampling areas, they can make appointments with Shannon and Wilson. As we look at different characteristics of the community, Shannon and Wilson will come up with a proposal of where we should sample to begin with. DOT will coordinate a public meeting, and at that public meeting, Shannon and Wilson and other state agencies will be there for questions, and they will also be setting up appointments for sampling.
The state has not yet determined if there will be a public meeting in King Salman.
We'll still have Shannon and Wilson go out to conduct a site investigation, both on and off the airport. Once we receive results, we'll indicate if we need to have a public meeting or not. But right now, the focus in King Salman is to determine and identify any PFAS detections off airport.
There are options for homeowners to have their wells tested for the chemicals independently of the state investigation. However, those tests can be costly. For example, a water test from Trident Environmental, a laboratory in Michigan, costs $250. PFAS have been used in a variety of industrial and commercial products since the 1950s. Because of the emerging evidence about their health effects, the state is testing airports and Department of Defense sites across Alaska. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
And a pair of sled dog races has been canceled, and another may be in jeopardy due to poor trail conditions in the Mat-Su Valley. On Wednesday evening, officials for the Kinnick 200 and Kinnick 100 announced that this year's races, which had already been postponed once, will not take place. The races typically start on Kinnick Lake and follow trails in the valley. Last year's race start had to be moved to Willow due to poor ice conditions on Kinnick Lake. This year, officials say the lake ice is in better shape, but other areas of the trail are potentially dangerous. Stretches of the Yentna River are of particular concern. An alternative route was also deemed unsafe as temperatures climbed into the 40s headed into the weekend. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.